Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, but joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hello.
Hello, and Ash Millman.
Hello.
Hello. Now, we thought we would dive in headfirst into the biggest controversy of the current time, which is Spider-Man going exclusive to the... It's a big deal, Ewan. Have you seen social media? The controversy.
People are really angry about it.
Yeah, it's blown up left, right, and center. So yeah, PS4 version of Avengers will have Spider-Man exclusive to that platform. They haven't said whether it's a timed exclusive or for all time. But obviously, there's a whole lot to pick apart with this. I guess to go into you straight away, Ewan, what was your initial thoughts on this?
My initial thoughts on this, Scott Telford, was the Principal Skinner, am I so out of touch moment? Because I saw everyone getting really, really angry and riled up about it. And I was just kind of there like, and what?
I told
you yesterday about like the irreconcilably, you know, spicy take I had about all this. And it's that if people are so worked up about Spider-Man being an exclusive character in Marvel's Avengers, if they loved Spider-Man so much, why didn't they fork out the £400 to get the PlayStation to play the whole ass game dedicated towards the character? That might be that might be the dumbest thing I've ever said on camera. I don't know. I'm just literally, I have no litmus test for this anymore. I just found the outrage really kind of disproportionate, and there's a whole weird narrative going on around this game that we can get into later as well if we want to.
Mean there's like a whole thing around it in terms of like a lot of people are this is like a side tangent, but it feels like some people are kind of willing it to fail in a way because it is very much like Destiny or an Anthem.
I think it's because it didn't have the best first showing, and it was very easily memeable with those weird character models and the fact that it's not quite found the strength of art design that the Insomniac Marvel games have. I think you know, people seem to think that it's trying to be an MCU thing, even though it isn't. And myself personally, I have definitely not been won over by Crystal Dynamics, you know, visual vision for the Marvel universe.
Yeah. I love a good visual vision.
Yeah, visual vision.
Visual vision.
Yeah, exactly. But
I'm kind of the same though. Yeah. I think it has a pretty naff showing so far. Although the two most recent, they've only done two war tables, but the most recent war table so far seems to have turned a few people on it. But Ash, what's your thoughts on multi-platform games having platform-specific exclusive content?
Oh, I feel like it's splitting the hairs a little bit too much for my tastes. As in, like, if there's something that's either have the game as a console exclusive and then everyone can access everything if they're on the console, or have just everything available to everyone. The console exclusive, like DLC kind of platform, I think is going to cause issues. And whilst this one isn't so bad, like in general, I think having Spider-Man as a character in Marvel, I don't think it's that bad in general, because it's their IP. They've always tried to capitalize on themselves as the Spider-Man folk. I feel like that suits them. But if it were to continue as a trend, it'd be something that would kind of throw me off, because then anytime anybody got a game, they wouldn't be getting the full experience unless they played it across multiple consoles and had all the different things that come with them. Because as it stands with Xbox players or other players being able to play Marvel and then having the Marvel experience, but not the full one because Spider-Man isn't in it, but then the PlayStation people can have the Spider-Man one. I think it just kind of encourages this whole, oh, you need every console and every variant of it to be able to experience gaming fully. And then that's more, I don't know, I just want everyone to enjoy everything at the end of the day.
I'll tell you what, though, with this, because I think me and Ewan had the same initial reaction in terms of like, what, it's just exclusive stuff. The industry's been doing this for a long time. And so I've kind of gathered up a handful of different examples when this happened, because a lot of people are saying like it's a very antiquated, you know, way of doing content rollouts, that you just didn't see that this much this generation. That's not really true. There's been a lot of examples this generation. Even last year's Modern Warfare had their survival mode was on PS4. That's still exclusive to PS4.
Red Dead still has PS4 first content as well.
Yeah. Like, there's like Arkham Knight had some
GTA Online missions.
There's a ton. And stuff from last generation too, like Soul Calibur 2 and 4 had characters per platform depending on which one you bought. Go
Mr.
on.
Telford, sir.
Yes.
I remember the days of when I was really excited for Batman Arkham Asylum, but I couldn't play as Joker because that was a PlayStation 3 exclusive. And
yes.
So I remember that. That was, I still haven't gotten over that.
Well,
so
Hold on.
Think about how that makes you feel, Ewan. How does that make you feel? And all these people are having that moment again.
Right, here we go, right? I was 12 when I had that issue, right? I'm a grown-ass man now. And, you know, I'm not going to say that this whole thing isn't crappy, because at the end of the day, I want everyone to play the full game. I think it is fundamentally crappy that people can't, but it's not surprising to me because there is so much precedent that has gone into something like this. And that's the thing that kind of weighs on me, in the sense that people are so shocked by it. You know, we already had a full PS4 exclusive Spider-Man title. Now Sony, if he was ever going to appear in the Avengers game, that was all. I think we've had actually conversations about this. When we were talking about whether the game could connect to Insomniac Spider-Man, and I think myself or Josh, must have spitballed the idea that maybe Spider-Man could be a PS4 exclusive character a few years ago.
What have you done, Ewan? You set it all in motion.
Maybe that's why I'm not guilty about it, is because Sony had just given me all the royalties. But yeah, I don't know. I think without precedent, it can be very frustrating, but this doesn't seem as surprising or as shocking or as, you know, whatever outrageous kind of thing people are calling it right now. I just don't see it that way.
I was going to say, do you guys remember when Peter Moore, who I forget who he was working for EA for a while. But
and then he worked at Liverpool? He's just left Liverpool now. That's
right, okay.
My other fun story.
Mr. Peter Moore, though, back when GTA 4 was coming out on the 360 and everything, he got a GTA tattoo and he slowly rolled his sleeve up at E3 to reveal this GTA tattoo, because the 360 got the GTA 4's DLC a year in advance before the PS3. And I remember that being one of the first major, oh my God, it's a really important IP and you guys have secured this thing, and everyone being extremely gutted about it. I don't know if I'm just desensitized to the fact that this is a fact of the industry. Like, Ash, do you feel the same way, like in terms of just being, this is just something the industry does?
Oh, it's definitely something the industry does, but I feel like kind of in the age where they're saying for the player and all this sort of thing, it does not feel for the player, it feels like for the business. And as someone who's
PS4
played...
player.
But yeah, you know what I mean, though? Like, you know, as someone who's played Xbox a lot and had, like, the Xbox 360 generation and that sort of thing, I feel like someone who's had that side of it where I'm like, oh, man, everything sucks. I don't have a PlayStation. It is gutting when you've, like, shelled out a lot of money for a console that you then can't use to its fullest potential because of exclusive content. But that is just the way it be sometimes, is the other, like, flip side to this. Things have to make money. That's for a reason to buy a specific thing. It's why, like, Apple has a market and Samsung has a market. Because you go for different features. I think it's a little bit different when people are personally connected to characters and stories, and that makes the whole thing a bit more heightened. But at the end of the day, like, absolutely, it is just an industry thing. It's an industry thing that happens. People get exclusive content, and you've got to make your choices, weighing up the pros and cons. Not everybody can have everything, unfortunately, unless they're a PC gamer. But even then, they don't get everything either, to be fair. They say they do, but they don't.
All those spreadsheets and sliders. I think it's worth pointing out in this case that the pre-orders for Avengers have been open for a couple of weeks now. So I think it's a very small amount of people that would have both systems and would still then choose to pay to play on Xbox, because they're the ones that are being directly stiffed by this. If they are then also a huge Spider-Man fan. And there's also a weird thing as well, where in terms of the core value proposition of what this game is, assumedly Spider-Man isn't a remotely worthwhile part of that, because he's only being added on like a month before launch.
That's the important context I think a lot of people are missing here. You know, it's not going to be a fundamental part of the game. The way that Square Enix or Crystal Dynamics have built this game up is it's very much along the lines of a Destiny, where you'll have individual hero missions and then they will join your band and you can do different missions that come after that. And to me personally, you know, I guess, you know, in an age of the MCU where Spider-Man is so synonymous with the Avengers now, when really when I was growing up, that wasn't the case at all. I don't see that synonymy between the two properties, so I'm not that burnt up about it. But I guess maybe if you do see Spider-Man as being an Avengers character, then maybe that kind of exacerbates things a little bit more. But again, that's not really what I care about the character for anyway. I'm kind of, if anything is Scott Taylor for Nash Millman. I'm outraged by the fact that we've got Spider-Man in this game at all. He ain't an Avenger. He's been an Avenger a few times, but he's not a core Avenger. You know, Hawkeye in there. We've got to get all the other people in there first. What is this, you know,
I love this, like, the Ewan Paterson, like, the knowledge of all the comics and everything just coming in with the slam dunk. Like, yeah, fair enough, in not an Avenger. Get rid of him, bin him off.
Exactly. That's my nuclear take, actually. Not that it's good, actually. It's get rid of Spider-Man, get him out of it.
Well, that was the thing that I thought I mean by the value proposition thing. Like, he wasn't mentioned at all, even by, there's no allusion to Peter Parker in the story. As far as I know, there's nothing that regarding, you know, Peter Parker's going to matter in this universe. And for the longest time, we were speculating on, assumedly, the Insomniac version being tied in. And now, a month before launch, they've gone, hey, by the way, Spider-Man's a thing. And even in relation to the way Sony handled Spidey, like, they have the movie rights or whatever, but on the game side, Spider-Man's already been in Ultimate Alliance 3. So assumedly, Sony are the ones getting in touch with Crystal Dynamics, sorting something out along the way, or the ones coming in at the end going like, actually, we're going to secure that character that you maybe had in development for multi-platform at one point. They would have had to have him in development for multi-platform at some point.
Yeah, I mean, the only other possibility the only other strategy that I think might have been tabled at Sony would have been, can we go out and get Spider-Man, Mom? And it's like, oh no, we have Spider-Man at home, and it's the Crystal Dynamics Spider-Man. That could be the only other strategy that I could think would be, oh, we'll give them that. And that's very cruel of me, because I'm actually, you know, I'm tentatively optimistic about this title. But there's no getting away from the fact that Spider-Man is a man, and I guess that's the sticking point. And the reason why I got a PlayStation 4, apart from the fact that the 2013 Xbox One showing was so dreadful when they first demoed that console, was mainly because of Spider-Man as well. Like, I really, really, really wanted to play Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4. I think if that had been on an Xbox title, I would have been absolutely gutted, because then I would have had to fork out money to get an Xbox, because that character is such a pivotal and important one. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, the actual mainstream appeal of Spider-Man is very important to factor in here.
That's
as opposed
one thing
to other stuff as well.
Yeah, that's one massive thing that I wanted to highlight, is that Sony for the longest time have wanted to make Spider-Man a PlayStation character, quote unquote. Like, back with the PS3, the PS3's font was the Spider-Man movie font, and they have their own exclusive game, and they include Spidey in the PlayStation Studios sizzle reels when they put them out before, like, as part of their live streams and stuff like that. I don't think any of us think of Spider-Man as a PlayStation character at all.
I do, after talking to you guys about it, but okay. I was like, oh, what's this deal with Spider-Man? And I was like, oh yes, Sony own all of the films and do all of the Spider-Man content. Of course he is a Spider-Man character. But
do you think that is, like, an effective thing? Because to me, it's like, it feels too try hard, and it feels like, if you're, I don't know, for me, I'm like, it's a Marvel character that you've licensed, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair thing to say. You know, Sony don't own Spider-Man. They just own, you know, the on-screen rights. And through their negotiations with Marvel Games, I imagine that maybe their deals with Marvel Studios will have helped them out in some way there as well. They have managed to procure Spider-Man as an exclusive title for, you know, Insomniac Games and make that a first-party offering. And, you know, if you're Marvel Games at this point, you're approaching this from the perspective of, what do we want, you know, instead of where it was like with Disney and EA, where they basically gave that publisher and the studios carte blanche to do whatever with Star Wars, Marvel Games have very much looked at the thing and gone, well, on a case-by-case basis, what is going to serve Marvel Games best? And at this point in time, you know, obviously it stands to benefit Sony as well. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where I look at it and I'm like, ah, yeah, Spider-Man, he's such a universal property, and it is a bit cringe that Sony are trying to be like, oh, he's actually, hey, you like Spider-Man and Ratchet and Clank and Jack and Dexter and Nathan Drake. Well, they're all PlayStation characters,
yeah,
friends.
Exactly.
That is a little bit weird, but at the same time, you know, the PS4 Spider-Man game was fantastic, so...
I think it's working is the thing, though, no matter how, like, it may feel. It's like, oh, no, absolutely. Like I say, like, I would never have thought of Spider-Man as, you know, the Sony character, but, like, the recent discussions about it and then actually thinking about all the work they've put in to, like, brand him that way. I feel like in, like, what, 10 years, 20 years, when we've just all installed games into our eyeballs and have Spider-Man in there, Sony will have absolutely solidified their foothold as having Spider-Man, even if it is just, like, holding him like a butterfly in their hands, going, he's ours. That's what it feels like. But, like, yeah. I think they are doing it well, and I think that the way that they are treating the character with love and, like, the game they've put out, everything that they've put out around it has always been done with, like, care and passion and reverence for the character. So I think you can't really besmirch them for wanting to continue with that it is just a shame that he's being cornered off from other markets that love comics and games, but are just, you know, unfortunate Xbox players, as it's so big.
A ton of it. I think the reason a lot of people blew up about it, like, obviously it's Spider-Man. Like, he is this incredibly popular character. The Spider-Man game on PS4 is, like, the highest selling or the best selling game in PS4 history. It's this massive deal. But it's just that thing where so close to the release date itself that they've kind of dropped in this last minute thing that they could have led with months ago. I just start thinking about the specifics of how this must have rolled out, assumedly considering the amount of dev time it takes to make a character model and start designing missions and things like that, unless Spidey is a 2021, like way further into 2021 character.
I think it's assumedly slated for an early 2021 release, sorry.
Right. Because they were early 2021. So it's like, was this character a multi-platform character in the first place? And then Sony got on the blower and said, actually, we'll take him. We'll give you 4 million or whatever, because this is the character that we absolutely know and love. I did want to pivot into timed exclusive stuff as well, because when I started Googling all the cases of multi-platform games with exclusive stuff this generation, like I said, it was Modern Warfare last year with the survival mode, it's Arkham Knight Scarecrow missions, Assassin's Creed Black Flag had some timed stuff. Assassin's Creed Black Flag was one of the only examples where something stayed exclusive to PlayStation. Modern Warfare, Arkham Knight, Hitman, Control, and Watch Dogs all did exclusive stuff that went across after a certain amount of time, and even something like Rise of the Tomb Raider went back across to PlayStation after initially being on Xbox One. Do you guys think that the timed side of it makes it more acceptable and makes it more palatable, or is it still like a kick in the teeth?
Timed exclusive is great. I love timed exclusive. You get all of the joys of being, oh yeah, I'm a such and such player, like, I have package. All of this, but everybody actually gets to play it as well. So I think if they're going to do exclusive, timed exclusive absolutely is my jam, because it's like, okay, yeah, cool, you have to have it late. It's like, you know, getting a cinema ticket. Yeah, you can go and see it at the cinema, have the full experience the way it's supposed to be with all the stuff in the right place, and then you can watch it on home movie later. And it's like, you still get the same stuff and you get it a bit later, but you get it for like a better price or a different accessibility sort of rate or whatever. I think timed exclusive is absolutely the way to go, but I do recognize I feel like that's kind of a nerd opinion for anyone who's like, I love exclusives. I love like exclusives to console.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
consoles, because it's, oh yes, everybody gets a slice of the pie. But
oh, see, I would say the exclusive side of it is the quote unquote nerd opinion, because that's the full on console wars. Look at what my team's doing. Like, yeah, let's wave the flags and get the foam fingers out, kind of thing.
It's really weird. I'm kind of really, I might even be a little bit more like kind of iffy about timed exclusives. I don't know. I think that in my head, I'm like, the GTA example you brought up earlier, Scott, it's a really good example, because you know, back when Rockstar, well, you're welcome, when Rockstar were like really focusing on like single player experiences, and you know, GTA was its premier single player experience, and for you to complete that single player title, and then I think, was it like a year or 2 years that, that some of these DLCs were locked on the Xbox for? It was a while. I remember it being
It was Xbox exclusive DLC for a year.
I mean, a year is a long time, and if you're waiting for the DLC for GTA 4, that is that's potentially massive. And you know, I think Call of Duty has been a big proponent of the timed exclusives for a while now. You know, they've had that was with PlayStation. I think that's still ongoing, but
that's Survival Mode is exclusive to PS4 right now.
So I mean, that would be frustrating, I think, as well, especially in terms of the way we look at multiplayer games now as being a platform to then expand upon if you've got an entire player base. And, you know, to be fair, it comes at the expense of both players and I'm sure the studios as well, because they've got to cultivate a community and make sure that they're invested constantly. And if you're basically withholding content for a period amount of time, and if it's substantial content at that matter, then that can fragment the player base and, you know, cause anxieties in that sense as well. So my whole big position on it is that I think exclusives are dumb. I think everyone should be able to play whatever, but at the same time, I'm just resigned to it all now. Maybe that's the position I'm at. I've been roared into I think after Joker broke my heart in 2009, that's
bored. Well, kind of the thing, because my perspective on it is that it's just cold hard business, and it's not that Spider-Man matters more to people, but there's so many examples of it.
Chinatown.
It is. It's pure, just like, well, Sony, you know, getting it out, flopping it down on the table, being like, look, we are a bit of a Spider-Man thing. Flopping it left, right, and center, and that's their thing. And so they're like, well, there's an Avengers game. However that deal came together, there's a propensity to have a Spider-Man exclusive piece of content. They're going to throw the money down on it because it matters more to them on a long-term business plan kind of sense to have Spider-Man associated with PlayStation, and they'll just throw money at it. So it's just, I see exactly why it happens. And there's so many examples of it in the past as well. One thing that stuck out, though, when I went back over like the examples I just gave, Modern Warfare, Assassin's Creed, Hitman, whatever, all of them were PlayStation deals that were, like, they were originated on the Sony side and then they came over to Xbox. One of the only other examples is that Rise of the Tomb Raider thing from the beginning of the generation, which was a year exclusivity, and then it went across to the PlayStation. So Sony are very much, you know, they play into this stuff, but I think you look at the sales lead that they have and it does seem to work, like on a brass tacks level of just saying, look, if you want to play this, you got to go with PlayStation.
I think like having a pure exclusive is the difference between a timed one. A timed one encourages people to stick with whatever console they want until it comes around. Whereas I think PlayStation are very on the ball with having like, no, this is our home brewed content and it is exclusive, full stop. And it is like the good stuff as well, like, you know what I mean? Their exclusives are mad. They're what convinced me to get a PlayStation and stuff. If they weren't exclusive, perhaps I wouldn't have got one. So I think they are smart and they know what they're doing. But they, I guess, breeding exclusivity and having it as a business format where people buy into it because they want these specialized exclusive things means they have more money because of that to put back in and make really good exclusive things that are exclusive, because you're putting money into a brand that cares about what it's making and to offer these exclusives. I've said exclusive so many times, it's not like a word anymore. So I feel like the timed exclusive side kind of chips away at what consoles and brands can make if people just had them as exclusives and signed up for a particular one to support them in that sort of making as well. I think Sony do the best exclusives out there, and if their model is working and people are buying into it,
have to claim Ash Millman if you're not getting Nintendo Switch. Ash Millman,
no, you know what, I've dabbled in the Switch stuff, but I think
Hellfire,
I've dabbled in it, but like I'm probably
with you, to be honest.
Don't wind me up then. I'm like grabbing at the words. They go, who knew it's Nintendo Switch? But no, I think Sony do have the edge on exclusives, considering the absolute like hot iCore they've put out recently of brilliant titles. Inject it into my veins.
But yeah, one thing I was going to mention in regards to all that stuff is like you mentioned before we started recording, like the way that Microsoft are pivoting their whole business model and their general mentality and attitude towards gaming overall, where it's almost like, and this is a cynical way to go about it, it's almost like they're embracing the fact or admitting the fact that they can't compete with the amount of exclusives that Sony have. And they've just, their mandate has just been like, hey, we Game Pass, everything's for everybody. You play everything wherever you want. We're going to have a solid, ostensibly a third position going forward, because the Switch is still this runaway success as well.
I mean, I think in a way, and even though I think you could potentially make the argument, you know, 7 years on from that first E3 showing that Microsoft have potentially won the argument on, you know, physical free games media and, you know, subscription-based models or whatever. Mm-hmm. Equally, I do think they're still paying for the mistakes they made with the Xbox One right at launch in terms of not having a strong first-party lineup, in terms of all the other kind of, you know, missteps that have been made along the way. And I can already tell people are going to be really angry about this. Like, oh, Ewan, why are you so mean against Xbox? I had an Xbox. I had an Xbox 360. PlayStation just won the argument for me this generation.
Right.
And I still think that, you know, if we're talking about how Microsoft are looking to adapt their platform going forward, despite, you know, investing, you know, a sizable chunk of cash in getting more first-party studios and developers under their belt, I do think it might be the case that they've looked at this and gone, well, we can't compete with the first-party offerings that that Sony have got right now. You know, Halo is our big thing, but is Halo still going to be as big a pull with Halo Infinite and what we're doing right now? Yeah. Everything they do, apart from, you know, the Games Pass and stuff, it seems more reactive than proactive. I don't know if that's the correct way to go about it. But it's a case to me that I do wonder if maybe they've looked at this and gone, well, we don't have a Spider-Man. We don't have, you know, that marquee narrative single-player title on the lines of The Last of Us or, you know, an Uncharted or something like that. We don't have anything that really, you know, demonstrates the system all too well. And, you know, these, if you're going to talk about, like, you know, brand and you know, exclusive titles and mascots or whatever, you know, these issues with the Xbox go back, like, two generations.
Yeah.
It's just a case, you know, to me right now, I think they are now definitely pivoting in that way of going, oh, we're for the gamers. You thought Sony were for the gamers? Bah, friends, we're the gamers. We're the real gamers. Hey, look at them trying to, you know, lock all this content. They're holding Spider-Man hostage. Let's forgive them. That's basically what kind of the narrative going right now, where, oh, we can cross-play and all sorts of different things. And I can definitely, it's an interesting narrative to see play out. I have no stake in the game either way, but yeah.
They are 100% playing for the living room, for the wider play. I mean, Phil Spencer said their main competition is Google and Amazon, and they just want to be, you know, they want to be the brand that you go to, like play some Xbox and it's an app on your TV or whatever. And that means that you know, that idea of like going for exclusives and the old school stuff and mascots and things like that, that would assumedly be old school or would assumedly be antiquated in some way. But the way that it's all rolling out and the reception that's out there and having talked to people in real life as well as on social media, I haven't seen anybody say that they're doing well. Like it might meet out over a long enough time period where you get that big piece of that, you know, casual market. But the people who follow the industry are very much looking at PlayStation instead. Ash, I was going to say, we've both had both systems. Is that the same way that you've kind of found it?
I think you've kind of got a question that the people like that we are, obviously, like gaming journalists, people who are very invested in games and new stuff coming out. And then there's a big portion of people who like watch this content and like are very engaged with the games industry. And then there's a big portion out there who are just very much will pick up a game and not know anything about it because they like the cover, or, you know, it's just a little casual thing they can play with family, or, you know, they're just trying it out for the first time. There's loads of like casual dip in, dip out gamers that aren't going to be like hardcore, know everything that's going on. I think Xbox having a space for that obviously is going to be our reaction and our like influence over this sort of thing, as in like what people are saying to us and how we perceive it and stuff, is going to be different from the person who just has an Xbox with a bit of dust on it that they whack something on every now and then. But as someone who has had both systems and like been a casual gamer, been very invested, like been all over the shop, PlayStation absolutely like scolded Xbox this generation. I like Xbox and I love it as an entertainment system, but that is absolutely what I use it for. I use it to go on Games Pass and play some things that are now free, and I can have a little, you know, pay for the Games Pass subscription and have what I want out of there. Go into that, and I use it for Netflix and Shudder and Amazon Prime and all my video apps. If I want to just do something that's not really like intensive story-driven gaming, I'll put it on the Xbox. If I want to play a game where I want to like dive into something, commit myself to doing some gaming for the evening, I'll put the PlayStation on. And I think that's absolutely where the market is splitting and the different avenues are going down. And I think that really works for both their brands as well. Some people might look at it as a bit like, oh, Xbox are giving up, they're failing. But I think they're just changing their narrative and changing their story.
They're not in the same race anymore. It's not the game that they're playing anymore. I was going to say, where do you guys think, the way that we're going to go forward, where Xbox really aren't assumedly going to compete on this front, and Sony are the ones putting so much money into exclusive stuff, even on multi-platform games, do you think that that is antiquated, or do you think that just is the way the industry is, that if you're one of those companies and you want to compete on that level and make that much money, you need to invest it in ways that force people onto your platform?
I don't even know anymore, Scott. As I said earlier, I had the Principal Skinner moment last night where I was like, am I so out of touch? And then went, No, it's the gamers who are wrong, because genuinely, I can't wrap my head around why this is generated. I mean, I do understand why it's generated so much fume, but at the same time, I'm just like, come on, it's games. Come on, this is how it is.
And what they do.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing for me here, you know, we're talking about the two diverging paths that, you know, Microsoft and PlayStation are going on. Mm-hmm. It does. The interesting thing for me is that I feel as though Xbox are trying to apply the lessons that PlayStation used so successfully at the beginning of the last generation. And by that, I mean, you know, we looked at the Xbox One when that first got announced as being anti-consumer, you know, completely out of, you know, step with what, you know, players wanted in their game. And you had that very famous PlayStation advert where after Microsoft detailed the, you know, the 50-point steps to trading a game with your friend or whatever, they had that really great advert where it was just the two lads, just, here's how you trade a game on PlayStation 4, here you go. And I feel as though it's interesting how Microsoft are now positioning themselves as, okay, well, let's make our platform as accessible and easy to use as possible. Let's make it as quote-unquote pro gamer as possible. So I don't know. I feel as though I still think PlayStation have just, I think Sony have stolen such a big march over Microsoft this past generation. And my only anxiety over potential exclusive stuff is that then kind of widens the gap a bit more. But then again, obviously, you know, Microsoft are definitely doing interesting new ways to try and carve out a new position in the industry. So it's a case of waiting to see how that'll pan out. But at the same time, you know, I agree with both of you guys. I mean, I don't really see, again, maybe I'm just in my little PlayStation echo chamber. I don't know. I just, at the same time, I don't see, nothing about the Xbox currently appeals to me apart from the fact that the online service is still the premier online service for consoles.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous, the online stuff they offer. I think they have really cornered that market. And if they continue to put effort and energy into that, there will be the guys for that. I feel like, kind of, you say it's like for the gamers or whatever, the little cough that you gave you, and I feel like Xbox are kind of for gaming, like as like a spectrum of like, oh, you know, dip in and dip out of games, and then PlayStation is for the gamer, like as in people who want like if you want to if you want to go between the little two, like
the t-shirt with the arrow pointing upwards,
gaming and gamer, because I feel like one is the broad spectrum of the pool of gaming that you can swim in, that you can bless yourself with the waters of, and like pop out again, and then PlayStation is like, oh, you're serious about this? Well, we got some stuff for you.
PlayStation's like the jacuzzi.
It's like the bit in Empire Strikes Back when Luke lops off Darth Vader's head, and it's actually him staring back at him. That's me right now.
No, that was one thing, go on.
No, I'm going on low. Sorry. I think I think having that sort of attitude for PlayStation really works for them, and it's something that obviously draws people who are interested in gaming in, like, seriously, we'll get a bit more into it very much because of the different exclusives and stuff. I think the bottom of this, root of this problem for the Spider-Man issue is, I get it. I really get the outrage and why people are upset, because if it gets too much exclusive, then you miss out, and people don't want to miss out. They just want to celebrate all things nice in gaming. So yeah, it is. It does feel anti-consumer if you're on the outside of the bubble and you feel excluded. But for those in it, it's very much a celebration of, we have this money, we're spending it on you, we're giving you things that you want.
I had this image of just PlayStation just putting money all over the players, just like,
like that's kind of been their thing, just hanging out at the club, showering in all directions, because that's pretty much how they've treated this generation. Just every other third party company, hey, what can you guys do for us if we do another exclusivity deal? And eventually, over a long enough time period, you know, the Avengers game comes around, and all of a sudden, it's Spider-Man. It's this big deal, and we all start paying attention to it. But like as I said before, there's so many examples of where this happened previously that I think it's like someone who grew up with it, or I think all three of us did. Then it doesn't strike us as alien, even though it is fundamentally blocking some people off, or you know, gating them off kind of thing. And that is like a worthwhile talking point. But I don't see this changing going forward. If anything, yeah. I think Sony will only embrace it more going into the next generation.
Yeah, well, I think that's, as long as, like you say, they're putting money back into their players, they're saying, hey, you like Spider-Man? We'll give you some Spider-Man on your Spider-Man. Like, you know, celebrating all the stuff that people like, knowing that people like Spider-Man and would like to see in Avengers, and that they can put into that and like have it as their mascot and do all that sort of thing, and have it as, I think it's a branding perspective where it's like, this is PlayStation, this is what you get. It's very clear lines, and also those lines are quite harsh for some people and players, again, who aren't on the side of them that gets all the stuff. I think it's good for them that they have these things like.
To be honest as well, like the amount of things that they've done that are literally called like calculated risks. If you look at the making of for God of War with Corey Barlog, when he was talking about the way Shuhei Yoshida reacted to that game, and it's very much a calculated risk, the idea of taking this character that everybody knew and maturing him and like, oh my God, he's picking flowers and everyone's freaking out. And it was like that thing. And also something like Ghost of Tsushima, which even the Japan studio, Sony Japan, said they wouldn't be able to do. Those sort of quote unquote risks are facilitated by having an audience that they know is going to, it's going to work when they put something out. And so like it does work overall, but obviously all of it is within the PlayStation ecosystem. And so I think all of us, we get all sides of it. It's just kind of fascinating that it's spiked and blown up so much. But a lot of that is because Spider-Man is so beloved.
They all love the Spider-Man. They all love the
Spider-Man, which is why that's why all of this is happening in the first place. But yeah, let us know anything down in the comments below if you're watching on the video side, or come find us on social media if you're following along on the audio platforms. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Goodbye.
And Ash Milman.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Gary Pitches of Spider-Man.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.